So today, in order to get in the mood of Lord Ramachandra's appearance day and try to meditate on his pastimes and attributes during the day, I thought to start reading the verse, the first verse, where Lord Ramachandra's pastimes incarnation are described in the summary of the different incarnations in the second canto. So we'll be reading second canto, chapter 7, called Scheduled Incarnations, and we will read together verse 23. Asmat prasada sumukha kalaya kalesha.
Asmat prasada sumukha kalaya kalesha.
Ikshvakubamsa avatirya guro nideshe.
Ikshvakubamsa avatirya guro nideshe.
Tishtan vanam sadaitan nujana vivesha.
Tishtan vanam sadaitan nujana vivesha.
Yasmin viruda yadasa kandara artim archat.
Yasmin viruda yadasa artim archat.
Asmat.
Asmat.
Unto us.
Unto us.
Beginning from Brahma down to the insignificant ant. Prasad, causeless mercy. Sumukha, so inclined. Kalaya, with his plenary extensions. Kalesha, the Lord of all potencies. Ikshvaku, Maharaj Ikshvaku, in the dynasty of the sun. Vamshe, family. Avatirya, by descending in. Guru, of the father or spiritual master. Nideshe, under the order of. Tishtan, being situated in. Vanam, in the forest. Sadaita Anuja, along with his wife and younger brother. Avivesha, entered. Yasmin, unto whom? Virudya, being rebellious. Dashakandara, Ravana, who had 10 heads. Artim, great distress. Archat, achieved. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Due to His causeless mercy upon all living being entities within the universe, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, along with His plenary extensions, appeared in the family of Maharaj Ikshvaku as the Lord of His internal potency Sita. Under the order of his father, Maharaj Dasharat, he entered the forest and lived there for considerable years with his wife and younger brother. Ravana, who was very materially powerful with 10 heads on his shoulders, committed a great offense against him and was thus ultimately vanquished. Purport. Lord Ram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his brothers, namely Bharat, Lakshman, Satrughna, are his plenary expansions. All four brothers are Vishnu Tattva and were never ordinary human beings. There are many unscrupulous and ignorant commentators on Ramayana who present the younger brothers of Lord Ramachandra as ordinary living entities. But here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the most authentic scripture on the science of Godhead, it is clearly stated that his brothers were his plenary expansions. Originally, Lord Ramachandra is the incarnation of Vasudev. Lakshman is the incarnation of Shankarshan, Bharat is the incarnation of Pradumna, and Satrughna is the incarnation of Aniruddha, expansions of the personality of Godhead. Lakshmiji, Sita, is the internal potency of the Lord and is neither an ordinary woman nor the external potency incarnation of Durga. Durga is the external potency of the Lord and she is associated with Lord Shiva. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, 4:7, the Lord appears when there are discrepancies in the discharge of factual religion. Lord Ramachandra also appeared under the same circumstances, accompanied by his brothers, who are expansions of the Lord's internal potency, and by Lakshmiji Sita Devi. Lord Ramachandra was ordered by his father, Maharaj Dasharath, to leave home for the forest under awkward circumstances, and the Lord, as the ideal son of his father, carried out the order even on the occasion of his being declared the king of Ayodhya. One of his younger brothers, Lakshmanaji, desired to go with him, and so also his eternal wife, Sitaji, desired to go with him. The Lord agreed to both of them, and altogether they entered the Dandakaranya forest to live there for 14 years. During their stay in the forest, there was some quarrel between Ramachandra and Ravana, and the latter kidnapped the Lord's wife, Sita. The quarrel ended in the vanquishing of the greatly powerful Ravana, along with all his kingdom and family. Sita is Lakshmiji, or the goddess of fortune, but she is never to be enjoyed by any living being. She is meant for being worshipped by the living being along with her husband Sri Ramachandra. A materialistic man like Ravana does not understand this great truth, but on the contrary, he wants to snatch Sita Devi from the custody of Ram and thus incurs great miseries. The materialists who are after opulence and material prosperity may take lessons from the Ramayana that the policy of exploiting the nature of the Lord without acknowledging the supremacy of the Supreme Lord is a policy of Ravana. Ravana was very advanced materially, so much so that he turned his kingdom Lanka into pure gold, or full material wealth. But because he did not recognize the supremacy of Lord Ramachandra and defied him by stealing his wife, Sita, Ravana was killed and all his opulence and power were destroyed. Lord Ramachandra is a full incarnation with six opulences in full, and he is therefore mentioned in this verse as Kalesha, or master of all opulence. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gena Gena Shalakaya Shakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Very powerful purport and very clear message of the position of Lord Ramachandra. I thought I would say just a few words on three aspects of Lord Ramachandra that I thought are very relevant. The first one being that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and there's no denial about that, in the sense that who else can claim to have such his glories sang for such a long period of time? Can we imagine Lord Ramachandra appeared over 1,000,000 years ago and his glories are still sung and heard with full strength in some parts of the world, especially in India, after such a long period of time? No other personality would be able to bear the time factor except the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we're glorifying Lord Ramachandra today, trying to remember his pastimes and his activities, which were obviously those of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If we go to India, all those devotees who've been to India, we know that Ram is very much in the collective consciousness of the whole country, so much so that they've had thousands and thousands of versions of plays and writings of Ramayana, of films, cartoons, videos, books, stories, adaptations. It's very much in the public consciousness. I don't know if you know, but a few years ago there was a very popular TV series, Ramayana, very, very popular, so much so that when the episode was coming on television, the whole country would stop and everybody would go to the nearest television to watch the episodes. It really captured people's emotions, like, to a very great extent. Most of the country was caught by the story of Ramayana on television for the first time in a series which was shown by the national television, so every little nook and corner of India could get it. And the country would stop practically for that episode of Ramayana, half an hour. I don't know if it was weekly or something like that. But then they're not satisfied just with that version, which was a big success, a much greater success than the directors and producers had thought. Now they have a second version of course, up to date with special effects and, you know, much better, you know, scenery and dresses and things like that. So now they're with their second TV series of Ramayana. So we can see how potent Lord Ramachandra's pastimes are, that such a long time after, it's still very prominent in the consciousness of many, many, many people, many human beings. And we can still hear of his pastimes in different scriptures. And there are many very strict sampradayas in India that are very much committed to worshipping Lord Ramachandra, chanting his names. Probably you've seen there's some devotees of Lord Ram who put the name of Ram everywhere. They write it on their forehead and their body everywhere. So it's still very prominent, the worship of Lord Ram, and his pastimes are very much in the public consciousness, both by strict followers, devotees of Lord Ram, but also by the masses of people in India. I would say the great majority of the population in India are very much conscious of Lord Ramachandra's pastimes. They all the time they come out with films, cartoons. I think it's like the third or fourth major cartoon they come out about Lord Ramachandra. So all the children in India, they know the story of Ram and Hanuman. So we can see that obviously Lord Ramachandra is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because no other personality could claim such a popularity such a long time after their appearance. You know, if we think in history, okay, some persons we still remember because he did some exploits a few thousand years ago in Western history. And of course we know many great kings from the past in India also, their names and but who has captured the imagination of the consciousness of so many human beings at the present moment after such a long period of time? Only the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ramachandra, or other incarnations of the Lord. And that brings the second point that I wanted to mention, was that obviously Ramachandra was Lord Vishnu, was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he was also a role model. He was a role model then, and he's a role model now. He was a role model of perfect husband, perfect king, perfect kshatriya, perfect human being. So he was really like a role model for all those who presents his pastimes. And he's also a role model through history. So many times through history in India and up to now, we use the example of Lord Ramachandra as a perfect ideal leader. Even now in Indian politics, they constantly refer to Ram Raj and to Lord Ramachandra's activities, qualities. So he's definitely a role model as a perfect king, a perfect kshatriya, a perfect husband, a perfect master, and a perfect human being. So that's another aspect of Lord Ramachandra that we can very much meditate on. His qualities are exemplary for us to follow. He was a role model in every respect. And then there's another dimension to Lord Ramachandra's appearance and pastimes, which I think is so attractive to all the living entities, conditioned souls, and of course liberated souls, is that his pastimes were so human. He was, you know, there was so much emotions involved in his whole life and his whole pastimes that it's impossible to not be captivated by the emotions that emanate from the story of Lord Ram. So many strong emotions are there, so many human-like activities that he performed, which captures everybody's heart, everybody's consciousness. And we can see that is one of the reasons why Lord Ramachandra's pastimes are so popular, especially in India. But I think, you know, Lord Ramachandra's pastimes are even known more and more throughout the world, thanks to the preaching mission and Srila Prabhupada's presentation of Srimad Bhagavatam. Nowadays, many, many people know about Ram and Sita and like that. I think some of the cartoons have been translated even into Polish and all kinds of languages in the West, so, you know, people are aware. And there was one time I was driving in Holland, and I stopped in a shopping center to buy something, I don't know exactly what. And while I was walking, they were showing on a big screen in the shopping mall this film, I don't know if you remember, Little Princess, or what is it called? I think Little Princess or something like that. It's about a story of a girl, and in the film she tells a story of Ramayana as she heard it. She tells it to all the other girls in the orphanage. And when she tells a story, they show the pastimes, I mean, interpreted by the Hollywood director, of course. They show the pastimes of Ramachandra. So in the big shopping mall in Holland, you would see Lord Ramachandra fighting with Ravana. And it was quite a spectacle to see in the middle of Holland. You know, thousands of people were being presented Ramachandra. And many other films. I heard there was one film which is quite controversial, or that either was made or is made in America, a kind of cartoon, a little, just the name of Ramayana is there, but not so much to do with the pastimes as we know them. So it has really captured, of course, Indian consciousness, but it's also captivating a lot of Westerners and throughout the world. In some parts of Asia, the children also learn a lot about Ramachandra. I was in Indonesia last year, and though most of the country is Muslim now, there's very few Hindus. You know, Hindus were there so long ago, very, very long ago, but still the pastimes of Ram and Sita are still very present in people's consciousness. Of course, they have from Bali they have these puppets that they play, and everybody knows a little bit about the story of Ramachandra. They call it different names. Sita they call Shinta, and you know, they have different ways of calling the different personalities, but you know, and that's also, we can see from history. And though the people are not necessarily Hindu or Vaishnavas or worshipping Vishnu, they're attracted, because it's so attractive for people, no matter what religion you're from, what practice you're from. The pastimes of Lord Ramachandra are very, very attractive. So we can see in India that you have followers who are very strictly worshipping Ram, but you also have people who might be from all kinds of denominations and spiritual traditions, but who are very much captivated by the story of Ramayana. And I was, the last thing I just wanted to say so that I don't speak too much, is that here in the translation he says that due to his causeless mercy upon all living entities within the universe, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, along with his plenary extensions, appeared in the family of Maharaj Ikshvaku as the Lord of his internal potency, Sita. So actually, I was reflecting that it wasn't just then that he blessed, that he gave his mercy to all the living entities, but it's then and for always, in the sense that at the time when he appeared, all the living entities who were present when the Lord performed his pastimes received causeless mercy. Not only his family, not only the monkey soldiers, not only the inhabitants of the forest, not only the inhabitants of Lanka, of Ayodhya, but all the living entities. And not just at the time when he was present, but we can see that his causeless mercy is eternal. It's, you know, as long as there's the recitation of the pastimes of Ram, as long as the scriptures are there where his attributes and activities are presented, as long as, you know, he's present, his causeless mercy is there. So it's very easy to get the causeless mercy of Lord Ramachandra. You know, there's so many plays that are being performed even today, so many recitation of Ramayana, films, cartoons. As I said, it's really like quite all pervasive. So we will have an opportunity this evening to try to get more immersed in Lord Ramachandra's pastimes by seeing a film. I think there's an option between a full film, an Indian film of Lord Ramachandra, or one of the episodes of that famous Ramayana that was played about 15 years ago, I think. 15, 20 years ago? 15 years ago. Which became like a classic, part of almost like a scripture, let's say. So it had such an impact on the people. So I would like to ask Guru Padma Prabhu to give us some more nectar of Lord Ramachandra, share some more realizations or stories, pastimes, whatever you can share with us. Lord Ramachandra ki
Jai.
Sing just a simple song and everyone will hear it, and it's easy to follow. And I heard this from Sakyaras. He came here sometimes on summer festivals and he sung this melody. I like that.
Raghupati Raghava Rajaram Patita Pavana Sitaram Raghupati Raghava. Raghupati Raghava Rajaram Patita Pavana Sitaram. Sitaram Jaya Jaya Sitaram Sitaram Jaya Jaya Sitaram Sitaram. Jai Shri Ram Jai Shri Ram Jai 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 Ram. Jai Shri Ram Jai Shri Ram Jai 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 Ram. Raghupati Raghava Rajaram Patita Pavana Sitaram. Raghupati Raghupati Raghava Rajaram Patita Pavana Sitaram. Sitaram Jaya Jaya Sitaram. Sitaram Jaya Sitaram Jaya Jaya Sitaram. Sitaram Jaya Jaya Sitaram. Sitaram Jaya Jaya Sitaram. Sitaram Jaya Jaya Sitaram. Jai Shri Ram Jai Shri Ram Jai 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 Ram. Jai Shri Ram Jai Shri Jai Shri Ram Jai Shri Ram Jai 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 Ram. Jai Shri Ram Raghupati Raghava Rajaram Patita Pavana Sitaram. Raghupati Raghava Rajaram Patita. Sitaram, Raghupati Raghava Rajaram, Patita Pavana Sitaram, Raghupati Raghava Rajaram. Lakshman Hanuman Sitaram, Lakshman Hanuman Sitaram. Lakshman Hanuman Sitaram, Lakshman Hanuman Sitaram, Lakshman. Sitaram Jaya Jaya Sitaram, Sitaram Jaya Jaya Sitaram, Sitaram Jaya Jaya Sitaram, Sitaram Jaya Jaya, Jai Shri Ram, Jai Shri Ram, Jai 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 Ram, Jai Shri Ram, Jai Shri Ram, Jai 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 Ram, Jaya Sitaram, 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 Jaya. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jaya Sita Ram, 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 Jaya Sita Ram.
Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Maybe my book is there. It's the ninth canto. This wasn't the ninth canto, was it? Second, yeah. Okay.
Okay, after Mahaprabhu, it's hard for me to say anything because he said so much in a nutshell. And therefore I let him first to see what he will say, then I don't have to say that. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Actually, I just have to improvise, you know. I tried to prepare the class, but it didn't work out. So I just read something, and then I might get, by Krishna's mercy, get some inspiration. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Mukam karoti vachalam pangam langati girim yat kripata maham vande shri gurundi natarinam vancha kalpatrubhyas cha kripa sindhu bhiva cha pratitinam bhavanibhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha. We are somewhere in the middle of the ninth canto here, chapter 10. I just take some verse and just start reading a little bit, see what happens. Vanani nadyo girayo varshani dvipa sindhava sarve kama dugha asan prajanam bharatarshava. O Maharaj Parikshit, best of the Bharat dynasty, during the reign of Lord Ramachandra, the forests, the rivers, the hills and mountains, the states, the seven islands and the seven seas were all favorable in supplying the necessities of life for all living beings. Okay, now I skip the Sanskrit. When Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was the king of this world, all bodily and mental suffering, disease, old age, bereavement, lamentation, distress, fear, and fatigue were completely absent. There was even no debt for those who did not want it. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. All these facilities existed because of Lord Ramachandra's presence as the king of the entire world. A similar situation could be introduced immediately even in this age called Kali, the worst of all ages. It is said, Kali Kale Nama Rupe Krishna Avatar. Krishna descends in this Kali Yuga in the form of his holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. If we chant offenselessly, Ram and Krishna are still present in this age. The kingdom of Ram was immensely popular and beneficial.
And by spreading of this Hare Krishna movement can immediately introduce, and the spreading of this Hare Krishna movement can immediately introduce a similar situation, even in this Kali Yuga. Already Mahaprabhu said how popular Lord Ramachandra was, and still is, and ever will be, and also how wonderful the government under the Supreme Personality of Godhead was. It is amazing. There are some descriptions that even elephants would go around in Ayodhya and they would sprinkle the streets of the whole city with perfume. You know, if you go to a store, the ladies know that, if you buy perfume, you get a very small quantity for a very high price. And the best perfume is the smallest bottle with the highest price. So this perfume used by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his capital was spread all over by the trunks of elephants. And they didn't need a machine to do that. No, these elephants by nature, Prabhupada said that in the purport, they can suck up water and then shower it, like a shower, like that. So they just took scented water and also drops of alcohol, which was scented. Of course, alcohol is used sometimes in perfume because it evaporates very quickly. So you can, whatever evaporates, you can smell. That's how you can smell aromas. So this is just a proof how opulent Vedic time is. It is said that although it was Treta Yuga, when Lord Ramachandra was there, everything changed into Satya Yuga. And Satya Yuga is the heavenly planets on earth, practically. So, Lord Ramachandra, Treta Yuga is the age of Yajna. So, in the Bhagavad Gita we learn that Saha Yajna Prajashishtva Purvacha Prajapati Anena Prasavijyadvam Ishavusvishta Kama Duk. In the beginning of creation, the Lord of all creatures sent forth generations of men and demigods along with sacrifices for Vishnu and blessed them by saying, be thou satisfied by this yajna, because it will bestow upon you all desirable things. It is explained that when yajna is performed, then everything spiritual beneficial is achieved, but also materially. There's nothing wrong with material opulence, actually. When Krishna is playing the role of a king, then he's the best in everything. If he speaks Bhagavad Gita, he becomes the best teacher. If he becomes a paramour, a lover, he is the best one. So if he becomes a creator, he becomes the best creator in everything. So if he becomes a king also, he becomes the best king, the best king. So Lord, I want to say something, but I keep forgetting it all the time. I don't know why. Maybe Lord Ram doesn't want me to say it. So then I say something completely different. Okay. Lord Ramachandra is also very famous for his moral, and he is known to be very loyal to Sita Devi. Sita Devi, because he always kept only one wife. So Kshatriyas, they are allowed to have as many women as they want, practically, as they can afford. Of course, they have to be able to maintain them. But, and usually that is done in Vedic culture by Kshatriyas. Many wives, many children. But Ramachandra, although he is the supreme enjoyer, he only kept one wife. And also Sita Devi is very famous for being the most chaste woman. Of course, you have Sita and you have Sati. And Sati is also very famous, but Sita also. And also the devotees of Lord Ramachandra are very famous, like Hanuman. Hanuman is known to be in Dasya Ras, and he is very eager to serve the Lord. And he has extraordinary strength by the mercy of the Lord. Once there was a herb, a medical herb required, and so Hanuman immediately took off to the forest to find that herb, medical herb. So what happened? To bring it to Lord Ram. But what happened is he couldn't really find it. There was a large hill there, a mountain full of herbs, Ayurvedic natural herbs. But he couldn't find that one particular herb. So he decided to just pick up the entire hill and just bring that to Lord Ram. He offered it to Lord Ram. So normally only Krishna can lift up hills. But sometimes his devotees become also very powerful. So also he served Lord Ram by going to try to rescue Sita. He went to Lanka, and then they somehow or other they caught him and they set his tail afire. And he didn't care that he was on fire. He just was so angry that Ravan kidnapped Sita that he just ran through the entire palace in Lanka, the entire city, and set it all afire. And later he helped Lord Ramachandra in building the bridge. Of course, we all know that by the wonderful power of the Lord, he wanted to build a bridge across the Indian Ocean, and many devotees of the Lord helped, all monkey soldiers, and there was also Hanuman. And they threw large mountain tops and bricks and rocks, and they threw in the ocean, and they were just floating on the ocean. And in this way they could walk to the other side and go and rescue Sita Devi and kill Ravan. But when they were throwing in these large rocks, then there was one small spider. And Lord Ramachandra is also teaching all kinds of devotional attitude to us. So this small spider was also there, taking small grains of sand and throwing it into the ocean. And then Hanuman said, "Get out of the way, or I trample you, step on you." And then Ramachandra, he chastised Hanuman. He said, no, he's doing as much as you do. And so, because Krishna is known, or Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is known for taking the attitude of the devotee, the intention. He only wants the intention, from the heart. And the material aspect of the service is not the most essential. So even if someone is singing completely out of tune and playing out of beat, although it's disturbing me, Krishna will not be disturbed. Because when it comes from the heart, that's a lesson to me, because I'm always disturbed when someone is out of beat and out of tune, and then I cannot meditate on Krishna anymore properly, and then I become offensive to the devotees. So then I become very humble and I say, no, I'm just a sense gratifier, I like music, so it's my sense gratification. I shouldn't do that. I should just think, you know, that these devotees, they have more devotion than me, so their kirtan is better. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur was criticizing all the Bengalis. He said, "Oh, they're just sense gratifiers, these kirtan leaders. You know, because it's just music for sense gratification." And I really like these Bengalis, you know, they're very fancy. As you see, can be sense gratification too. But the real thing is that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati was singing out of tune purposely. He would do that on purpose, just to teach them a lesson. We just want to glorify Krishna and nothing else. Okay. So therefore Lord Ramachandra, he was chastising Hanuman, "This spider is doing as much as you do." And that is also appreciated. And also Hanuman, he is very famous for his service attitude, because he is in Dasya Ras. And he is even the Acharya on that. Haridas Thakur is the Namacharya. So Hanuman is the Dasya Ras Acharya, you know, like that. So Hanuman, he was hankering for some service. And he saw that Sita Devi and all other devotees, they were always engaged in service. They were always serving Lord Ram. So many services were there. And Hanuman had nothing to do. And he felt terrible. So he was looking. And he was always around Lord Ram. And so they found it a little, we have to find some service for him. What could we get him to do? And then they figured out some service for him. Then one day, the devotees didn't see Lord Ram for a long, long time. And they also didn't see Hanuman for a long, long time. Where are they? And then they discovered them. They were finding them sitting in a room. Lord Ram was sitting like this. And Hanuman was sitting like this in front of Ram's mouth. And it was going on and on and on and on for hours and days and eternity. So the meaning of this ritual was actually that in India people believe that if someone has to yawn, you know, if you didn't take enough rest you have to yawn, then a ghost might enter your mouth. And so then people do that. That's a general practice in India. Immediately when you yawn, they come like that. They chase away the ghost. So that was the service for Hanuman to Ram. And then he was never bored. He could go on and on and on forever. Now we couldn't do that. That's Dasya Ras, expert. So there are many wonderful ways. Let's see if I think of something else. I don't know very much. I'm just a simple devotee who doesn't know very much. Although I read last night a lot, I forgot it again. Kali Yuga memory, it's horrible. I hope that one day it will be better, it will be improved. Well, how much time do we have left? 1 minute?
Today is open.
Open. I have to give a tour at 10:30. Okay, go on. Maybe we can just read a little more and then see what happens. It's all magic. Spiritual life is very magical. It's actually wonderful, you know, that that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is unlimited. He has unlimited forms, unlimited qualities. He has unlimited quantity in all his qualities. He has unlimited pastimes. Ananta Shesha is glorifying the Lord since time immemorial. Anadi, without a beginning, and Ananta, without an end. He will continue and continue and continue and continue. And if we read Srimad Bhagavatam, we see so many wonderful incarnations. And also Ramayana is wonderful. Mahabharata is wonderful. And it is unlimited. The Lord is just unlimited in whatever he does. And it's never boring. There's so much variety, unlimited variety. Can you imagine that some people believe that you can merge with the Lord and the Lord is actually impersonal? It's just an unlimited ocean of light and you will just sit there and shine? Oh, that is really boring, you know. Therefore, the impersonalists, who some of them, very rarely that is attained, but if they attain that perfection, then they will fall down again and come to the material world. And Prabhupada says, and then these impersonalists, they come into the variety of the material world again. And, because it's natural for the soul to experience variety and to be not bored. People like adventure. People like stories, especially about kings, Prabhupada always says. So if we... in the spiritual world, there is always adventure. And Krishna is so kind that he also comes to the material world. Yada yada dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata bhutanam dharmasya tadatmanam shri jamyaham. Whenever and wherever there is a decline of religious principles and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. Pritranya sadhanam vinashya chaduskritam dhanasam stapanartaya sambhavam yogi yogi. In order to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to re-establish the principles of religion, I advent myself millennium after millennium. So the main reason why Krishna comes is for his own pleasure. Lord Ramachandra is also Lila avatar. Lord Ramachandra is Vishnu tattva. And he comes to for his own pleasure, but he also comes to please his devotees, for the pleasure of his devotees. And this is usually the main purpose why God incarnates, why he appears as avatar, he descends. To kill demons is a secondary reason. So Ravan with 10 heads is killed by the Lord. 10 heads. He was very powerful. It seemed that he took gold from South America, even from the whole earth. He took from. Sometimes I heard that, and he brought all the gold from there, and he brought it to Sri Lanka, and he also attended to build a staircase to heaven. It's like he thought, let's in a mechanical way try to approach the heavenly planets, just like the modern NASA workers do. They build rockets to go into outer space, and they think to find something better than what we find on this planet here. So Ravan also was like that. He was a big materialist, you know. And he was so rude that it's almost like a symbolic that he stole Sita Devi from the Supreme Personality of God, that is the Goddess of Fortune. He didn't only steal fortune, gold and whatever opulence there is in the world, but he stole the Goddess of Fortune, who provides all fortune. But he didn't really, because actually the real Sita was not cannot be stolen by someone. Only by the devotee of Ram, Sita automatically will come and bless him. Or when you worship Narayan, then Lakshmi automatically comes along, because she never leaves the feet of Narayan. But normally she's called also Chanchala, flickering, which means that very quickly she disappears again. You cannot keep her very long, the mercy of the Goddess of Fortune. So there was an expansion of Sita Devi, who was actually going with Ravan. And she never gave in. Ravan never really touched her, even the expansion. So she always remained pure. And later something strange happened. Ramachandra went when they were already again, when Sitaram was delivered, and they went back to Ayodhya, and they lived there in peace and bliss and prosperity. Then one day Lord Ramachandra, he decided to go and travel, and incognito, in disguise, and just to see the public opinion, what do people think about me, see if I'm a good king, you know. So that sometimes the kings do that. So he went here and there, and then he came to a house where there was a woman and a man, and the woman was unfaithful to that husband, and the husband was chastising his wife in a room. And Lord Ram, he witnessed that incident. And so the husband said, I don't accept you anymore as my wife, because you were unfaithful to me. I will reject you now. Just like this hand-packed Ramachandra, his wife was at the place of someone else. So I am not, and he still accepted her, but I'm not like that, he said. So that is, of course, a very, very, very bad way of, if you say something like that, you know. But it's in the Ramayana, it's in the Srimad Bhagavatam there. And then Lord Ramachandra became so touched by that emotionally that he also gave up Sita. And then she went to the forest, to the ashram of Valmiki, a great saint. And she was actually pregnant, and she would have two sons, Kush and Lava. Kusha and Lava. And so these sons were raised by Valmiki, because Sita Devi, she couldn't bear the separation of Lord Ram, and she disappeared, entered the earth, the planet Earth, like that. So later Valmiki, he wrote the entire Ramayana, and Prabhupada says, Srila Prabhupada says that this is the real bona fide biography of Lord Ram, the real Ramayana. There are many different authors throughout history in India who wrote some stories about Ram Lila, but they are not considered to be bona fide, or sometimes they are bona fide, but not first class. There are some doubts there. The best is to just stick to Shastra by pure devotees, you know, that is a very important instruction. Srila Prabhupada said, is always very enthusiastic about the present time, and the purport that we just read, he says that when Lord Ramachandra was there, and then, oh yeah, that was what I was telling you, I remember it again. It was Treta Yuga, but it changed into Satya Yuga because of performance of Yajna. And Prabhupada here, in the Prabhupada immediately says, yeah, we can do that also in Kali Yuga. Even if it is Kali Yuga, we can change it into Satya Yuga. If we perform Yajna, if we chant the name of Ram and the name of Krishna. So that is, of course, the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. I can read a few more verses. Is that all right? Okay. Lord Ramachandra took a vow to accept only one wife and have no connection with any other woman. He was a saintly king, and everything in his character was good, untinged by qualities like anger. He taught good behavior for everyone, especially for householders, in terms of varnashram dharma. Thus he taught the general public by his personal activities. Purport, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Eka Padmi Vrata, accepting only one wife, was the glorious example set by Lord Ramachandra. One should not accept more than one wife. In those days, of course, people did marry more than one wife. Even Lord Ramachandra's father accepted more wives than one. But Lord Ramachandra, as an ideal king, accepted only one wife, Mother Sita. When Mother Sita was kidnapped by Ravan and the Rakshasas, Lord Ramachandra, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, could have married hundreds and thousands of Sitas. But to teach us how faithful he was to his wife, he fought with Ravan and finally killed him. The Lord punished Ravan and rescued his wife to instruct man to have only one wife. Lord Ramachandra accepted only one wife and manifested sublime character, thus setting an example for householders. A householder should live according to the ideal of Lord Ramachandra, who showed how to be a perfect person. Being a householder or living with a wife and children is never condemned, provided one lives according to the regulative principles of Varnashram Dharma. Those who live in accordance with these principles, whether as householders, brahmacharis, or vanaprasthas, are all equally important. Translation, this is the last verse of this 10th chapter. Mother Sita was very submissive, faithful, shy, and chaste, always understanding the attitude of her husband. Thus, by her character and her love and service, she completely attracted the mind of the Lord. Purport, Jai Srila Prabhupada. As Lord Ramachandra is the ideal husband, Eka Patni Vrata, Mother Sita is the ideal wife. Such a combination makes family life very happy. Yad yad acharati shristhas tatat evitaro jana. Whatever example a great man sets, common people follow. If the kings, the leaders, and the Brahmins, the teachers, would set forth the examples we receive from Vedic literature, the entire world would be heaven. Indeed, there would no longer be hellish conditions within this material world. So Srila Prabhupada says here, if the king, the leaders, the Brahmins, the teachers, he doesn't mention here parents, so parents or elders, you know, anyone who has a teaching position, a position, they should be very exemplary. So, and therefore the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whenever he comes and performs pastimes, he always sets himself the perfect example. One of the examples the Lord gives is that when he performs yajna in Treta Yuga, then he's worshipping himself. So then Prabhupada says, the Mayavadis, they shouldn't mistake this, that we should worship ourselves because we're all God. No, only God can worship God. I mean, we all have to worship God, including God. Yeah, he also. Like Krishna. Krishna was worshipping himself also. He was seeing his reflection in the marble floors in Dwarka, in the palace, and he was completely astonished about himself. But if we do that, if I go and stand in front of the mirror and I'm astonished about my beauty, and I am a fool. But so when someone is worshiping himself as God, he is a very, very foolish person. So they're just fools and rascals. That's how Prabhupada says it. But Lord Ramachandra is worshiping himself in yajna. So he gives the good example. We all should worship Lord Ramachandra. And yes. Okay. Maybe someone has a comment, or there are some questions. Nothing. What shall we do now? You got an idea? You can improvise now. What shall we do? You can use everything in Krishna's service, even improvisation. It doesn't have to be always rules and strict, at that time we do this and according to schedules. You can sometimes also think, what shall we do now for Krishna? That's nice, isn't it? Free will, and you offer it to Krishna. Sorry? You want to do that? We do some parikram without the deities, but then just around circumambulate Sitaram and Radha Gopinath. I don't know. Yeah. I like that. You like it? Okay, does everybody agree? Let's do that. Have some nice kirtan around. Okay, the neighbors are ready. Their ears are awoken already. Okay.
They're taking their midday break from work.
Okay. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Sri Ramayan ki jai. Sisi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. Sisi Radha Gopinath ki jai. Sisi Jagannath Baladev Subhadra ki jai. Sisi Golitai ki jai. Go Pramanandi Haribo.
We also like to invite the devotees for the Harinam at 1 o'clock in front of the castle. Hare Krishna. Lord Ramachandra's appearance day ki jai, Ram Navami Mahotsava ki jai, Harinam Sankirtam ki jai, Gaur Premanande.